Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, speaking about the great God of heaven that is far above us, but yet that loves us. And you have to get the understanding here that God is so far above us that we have no right to even expect we could be in his presence. We have no right to expect that even he would give us an ear, because he is perfect and we are not. He is holy and we are not. Yet, I don't understand why, but he says, but I love you. And I want you to dwell with me. Now, notice, whose name is holy. I think all of us forget that one word, holy. That he is absent of sin. And if we could somehow get that picture in our mind of the great God of heaven, it would change our lives. Because it would no longer be as easy to commit a sin, but we would think of the Lord in his holiness and say, I want to be like that. In other words, we would like to be like him, but we don't have a true picture of the holiness of God. When they were writing the scriptures, and they came to the word Yahweh, the name of God, the scribes would take a quill, and they would dip it in the ink, they would pray for a while, and they would write the first letter. And they would take that quill out and burn it, because it would never, ever again be able to use to write anything else. And they would do that with each letter. It would take a great length of time to write the name Jehovah, Yahweh. And so they put such an emphasis upon the holiness of God that whenever they would mention his name, it's almost like it would just pause their mindset and their thought. We talk to the Lord with our coffee in our hand driving to work. It's not that he doesn't want us to consider him as a friend like Moses, but I think most of the time we have not done the things and we don't have the mindset to have that privilege. And so you'll notice here he says, for thus saith the high and holy one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, and here's the word, dwell. I live. I spend time with. In the high and holy place with him. Also that is of a contrite. Now that's a broken heart. That's a tender heart. The Hebrew word here is crushed. Crushed into pieces that cannot be brought back together. He said, I dwell with them or him. And you're going to notice he could have said, I dwell with them. But I think there are so few people that it's more than likely most of the time in a generation of him. It's not an abundance of people. It ought to be. It ought to be every one of us in this room. But you'll notice he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him. Now, I do think there's another reason he didn't use the word them. He wanted it to be personal, to let you know he would dwell with you. But you'll notice also, in the high and holy place, with him that is of a contrite, and here's the word we're going to look at today, humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, and he repeats the word humble, to revive the spirit, to restore that spirit. So in other words, a humble spirit is one that needs the Lord to do the things that he ought to do. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn over. Now, keep your finger there, but turn with me, if you would, over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. And I think this key word is a word that all of us in this room, if we could grab a hold of the concept behind the word humility, that it would truly alter our lives. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12. This is Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, again, there's the Lord, holy and beloved. He assumes that we're holy. We are beloved. bowels of mercy, kindness, and here's the word, humbleness of mind. Now, this is the Greek word, tapenai phrosune. Tapenai means this. Phrosune is of the mind. So, it's humbleness of the mind. Tapenai means you don't rise very far from the ground when you're with someone, when you're in someone's presence. You consider them as more important than yourself. Now, let's go back to humility toward God. It ought to be easy that we're like this all the time. We just can't get up. I mean, we're not worthy. That's the mindset of humility. Now, what makes us worthy is we are in this position. Now take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And notice with me if you would. In verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now he sees Jesus, and look in verse number 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. There's the word tapenai. Now watch. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not. So in other words, there's no getting up unless the Lord touches me and says, I got something for you to do. Don't be afraid. And then the Lord, now keep in mind, this is used in Revelation 1. What's he going to ask John to do? Write the book of Revelation. Go to heaven. Revelation 4. See the scenes of heaven. See the key to hell open up in chapter 6. The demons flying out of hell. I want you to write it down. You cannot do this in your own ability. You need to be humble to the point where you can do nothing without me touching you and saying, don't be afraid, I'll help. And then we rise up. And in the strength of the Lord, we do great things. But it's not because I am great. That's where the world's got it all wrecked. You need self-confidence. You need the ability to believe you can do anything you want to do. That is a lie of the devil. Number one, how many ever heard the saying, I met a guy that pulled himself up by his bootstraps and made himself wealthy. How many ever heard that saying? Something like that. Okay, all over. Well, let me ask this question. Where did you get the hands to grab your bootstraps? Where did you get the eyes to see your bootstraps? Who gave you the bootstraps in the first place? When you really boil it down to, we are nothing. And without the Lord, we can do nothing. That is the humbleness of mind that God wants us to have, so that if he saw every one of us like that, then he could come over here and say, okay, Scott, don't be afraid. I got something for you to do. Okay, John, I got something for you to do. Okay, Joe, don't be afraid. I got something for you to do. Then we could do it to his specifications and we wouldn't get in the way. Then our humility of mind would allow us to do great things for the Lord. And we could turn around and say, oh, it wasn't me, it's him. But when we pull ourselves up by, have you ever thought about that saying? Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. How would you do that? I thought one day, how would I do that? You know, like, oh man, how do I get up? How do you? It's the dumbest thing in the world. You know what? It's impossible. And it is impossible, because unless the Lord grants you the air You can't do it. All he's got to do is take one step back and say, okay, Satan, you can have him for 30 seconds, and you got cancer filling your lungs. You got cancer of the throat. You got brain cancer that quick. And now let's see us reach down and grab our bootstraps. So the Lord said, I dwell with him. That is humbleness of mind. So we might come to church one morning and sort of drift into that spot. Oh, I need the Lord this morning. And all of a sudden, God meets with us. But to live there, that takes something special. A him or a her and not them. Because the world bombards us by saying, you can do anything you want to do. If you're a girl and you want to be an astronaut, you can do it. If you're a guy and you want to be rich, you can do it. If you want to play ball, you can do it. I want to tell you this. You may be a great guy, but unless you can jump 42 inches off the floor, unless you're 6'2" or 6'3", unless you can, you got bigger hands, you're not going to play in the NBA. You can want to all you want to. How many ever heard of Spud Webb? Spud Webb. Spud Webb, you know how tall he was? 5'7". Okay? Anybody here 5'7"? Anybody here 5'7"? Anybody here 5'7"? Okay, come here. Come here real quick. I want to show you something. Now, just so you don't realize, this is Ethan. He's got his mask on, but this is Ethan, okay? All right. Now, he's right here. Okay, do you see how short he is? Okay, look here. Now, I'm 6 feet. There are people in the NBA that are 7'6", okay? So you try to put your hand up, okay? He's not going to have much of a chance, okay? Now, let me just say this to you. I'm 6'1", and I'm short. You're 5'7"? Mm-hmm. You sure? Mm-hmm. You're not 5'8"? Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I'm asking you. Are you 5'7"? I need you to be just 5'7". Are you 5'7" or 5'8"? 5'7". Okay, he's 5'7", all right. So do you understand that he's going to make it in the NBA? The reason is because he can jump 40 inches. By the way, Spud Webb could dunk the basketball with both hands. That means he could jump 46 inches. He could jump up that high. Okay, now step on that. Okay. See, still not. I'm not going to ask him to, but you see he's going to step on this. Now he's no longer 5'7". One gift of God, the ability to jump, has changed Spud Webb's life. Okay, you can go back. All I'm trying to say to you is, you don't play in the NBA without a special gift. It's not you just go out there and you practice and you practice and practice. Anybody heard of Jimmer Fredette? He was a first round draft pick. He couldn't jump, but he was 6'1". But he could shoot the lights out because he practiced so much he could shoot the lights out. Didn't make it in the NBA. You know why? Couldn't get his shot off. Okay, so you can say all you want to. I want to do this. You can want to do that. You can do this. You can do that. Hey, I'd like to be a rocket scientist. But you got to have some more horsepower up there. Okay? So it is not true. But it is true of this. If you let the Holy Spirit and the God of heaven lift you up, he can grant to you everything you need to do what he wants. And he can take somebody that's a nobody and make them great. Sort of like a Moses that said, I stutter. I can't do that. I just get somebody else, Lord. The Bible says he spoke to the Lord face to face as a man would his friend. Now, I want you to notice humility is a characteristic that God loves. It is probably one of his favorite characteristics, a particular part of who we are. God loves it, but it's also a command of God. In Colossians 3:2, we just read it. He says, put on. He says, you put it on. So you know the good thing about humility? It's not you're born with it. Everybody in this room can have it. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. You can have humility. But do you realize that humility is a decision you must make? Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice with me, if you would, the second word of the verse. 1 Peter 5:6. What's the second word? Yourselves. So it's not like I go around and humble Joe Dill or I humble Derek or I humble Jonathan. It's you have to do it to yourself. And it's a mindset. You have to get such a perspective of God that it puts you in the position to where you can just say, I can't do anything without you, Lord. I need you to be successful. And then the Lord says, oh, I love that part about your heart. But it's something that you put in there. It's not something you're born with. Humble yourselves. It's what one of the things we can do to draw up close to the Lord. You'll notice not only that, it's a conscious decision we must make every day and every hour to have a littleness of mind. To not let ourselves rise too far off the floor unless the Lord touches us. The perfect example is in Revelation chapter 1. He sees the Lord and the holiness of the Lord strikes his heart. He falls on the floor and he's in sheer terror. Now I can tell you this, when you and I first see the Lord, we are taking the rapture up to heaven or we pass across this life into heaven by death. When we see the Lord high and lifted up, we're going to fall flat on our face and say, oh Lord, I had no idea. Your greatness. I had no idea who you were. God made all of us in this room. That's the reason humility, thinking of yourself less than somebody else, is something you and I have to work at. Because if you have a little money, you think of yourself as more than somebody else. If you make straight A's, you think of yourself a little better than somebody else. If you can run faster or jump higher, you begin to think of yourself in a different class. If you live in a different area, a different skin color, a different height, a different strength. I mean, Torgerson lifted 1,000 pounds. And held it. Now he's 6'6", 400 pounds, 380 pounds. He's like Goliath in strength. All I'm trying to say to you is that if that's all you want to do is just, you know, my claim to fame is I can lift a weight 1.5 feet, put it down. That's not what I want to do with my life. I want to make a difference. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you some things you can do. One is respect holiness. Get a right perspective of God and then get a right perspective of yourself. Littleness of mind. Taipena. Not rising very far from the floor. Phrasune is of the mind. It's the way you think. And so he says, look, that's what you need. And then I can, now let's go back over if we could. Notice, if you would, back over into Isaiah, and notice, if you would, in verse number 15, I dwell in the high and holy place with him to revive his spirit. In other words, to encourage him, to strengthen him. So if we let the Lord lift us up like he did John, and keep in mind, at this point in time, as far as we know, according to tradition, John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He's been boiled in oil. He doesn't look very cool. So he doesn't have looks and he doesn't have friends. The Bible says he's exiled. He's out on the island. He's walking by himself in the morning sometime. It looks like it sort of seems that way. I don't know if he's out. Just sort of picture him out on the beach as he's walking. And then all of a sudden, he hears a voice behind him. He turns around and there's Jesus and he falls on his face. So he has the right perspective of God and he has the right perspective of himself. And so the Lord reaches down and touches him and says, don't be afraid. I want you to write. He said, I got some things for you to do. I want you to listen to this. This is two verses after I read to you. Verse 17, I fell at his feet, he's dead. This is verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen and things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. He said, I got a job for you to do, but you can't do it in your own strength. And I think the Lord will look at every one of this room and says, I've got a job for you to do, but you can't do it in your own strength. You're going to have the right perspective of me and the right perspective of you. And then we can dwell together. Now, you'll notice that when we have this perspective, people could potentially take advantage of us. Because we are not the dominant person that runs over everybody, that demands to get this done, that done. There's a different spirit about us. And yet, I want you to notice something. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 15. Look at verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Verse 3, now go and smite Amalek. He tells him what to do. And you know the story. He doesn't do exactly what God says. You notice verse 9, but Saul and the people spared. Now, you cannot let peer pressure affect your perspective of God or your perspective of yourself or the call of God in your life. Those three things, you cannot allow anybody to change that. I mean, I can remember growing up, and whenever there were opportunities to do something else other than to preach the gospel, I couldn't listen, and I would turn it down. And I remember being in high school and kids saying, you're what? You're going to go be a preacher? Why wouldn't you want to do this? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Things that were available. Well, that's just what the Lord's called me to do. And you know, even at that young of an age, I was taught from Scripture, and I could see it in some other people, that to share the gospel with people was one of the greatest privileges in all the world, if that's what God calls you to do as far as a preacher goes. Now, he's called every one of us to share the gospel. But if it's your sole duty in life and the way you would make your living, then it is the call of God upon your life. But you cannot do it without the right perspective of God, the right perspective of yourself, and without a willingness to do anything he wants you to do, a complete obedience. So watch. Verse number 15, Saul said, wait, verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, Pride blinds our perspective of our efforts and makes us think we've done more than we've really done. We overvalue what we have done. I've done the commandment of the Lord. Look at there. I've done the commandment of the Lord. Look here. I've done the commandment of the Lord. Then verse 14, Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? God wanted all the animals destroyed because he didn't want to have animals that had been offered to another god offered to him. But Saul thought better. Why destroy good animals when we could give some to you and keep some for ourselves? Now watch. What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have. Now then he shifts the blame. Now when you get caught and you've got pride in your heart, you want to make sure others take the fall for it, not you. Pride does that to you. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. So what was it about Saul that God chose to make him the first king of Israel? It's not that he was 6 inches taller than everybody else in Israel. It's not that he was braver than everybody else in the world. It's that he had a littleness of mind about himself. And God said, I can use that. But when we lose that, we lose everything. Does anybody know why God gave to Saul, gave to Paul, a malady for which he asked 3 times for it to be removed so that he didn't get the big head by writing all the scripture that he did? I requested that he remove it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't want you to get the big head, Paul. So I'm going to take away some of your eyesight. A blind author is better than an author that can see perfectly, that's got pride. I just want you to understand that the Lord is looking for people that are little in their own sight. I want you to notice Isaiah 57, and we'll close. There are benefits to humility. Number one, God is pleased with us. Number two, we don't have to promote ourselves. You don't have to go on a campaign to make sure people notice you. God does that. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. God hears our prayers. Psalm 10:17, God hears the prayers of the humble. And God blesses the humble with earthly things, Proverbs 22:4. But I think the greatest one, and there's two more. One, Isaiah 57, I dwell in the high and holy place with him. The privilege to be able to stay close to the Lord is beyond words. But we can't do it without humbleness of mind. And number two, to revive the spirit of the humble, to encourage, to strengthen the spirit of the humble. So would you rather have your spirit strengthened by all your accomplishments or successes, or would you rather have the Lord say, I am proud of you. You did a great job. Keep it up. Today, humblest of mind, tapana frasune, not rising very far from the ground, is the ingredient that allows you and I to dwell in the presence of God. Do we have it today? Let's pray. Father, I pray you forgive me so many times whenever I do things of my own strength. Dear Lord, I pray that you give us all littleness of mind, that we would wait on you to touch us, lift us up, and use us. Lord, make a difference with our lives this week. Lord, we can't even hear the message to follow without you touching us. So I ask that you bless this morning. Bless this week. Help us to learn to live in your presence. In your name I pray. Amen.